I can't bear it. My fury is drowning me.
Oh, fuck this!
I rage at the world and back away, holding up my hands in defeat. I cannot do this. I'm out of here. Grabbing my jacket, I storm out of the room, slamming the foyer door. Frantically, I stab the call button, and even though the elevator is on our floor, the doors take far too fucking long to open. A child? A fucking child? I step into the elevator, but in my head I'm underneath a kitchen table in a shambolic, grimy, neglected hovel, waiting for him to find me.
There you are, you little shit.
Hell and damnation. Fuck.
No.
On the ground floor, I slam through the main doors out of Escala and onto the sidewalk. I drag in a lungful of fresh fall air, but it does little to assuage the anger and fear that surge in equal measure through my veins. I need to get away. Instinctively, I turn right and start walking, barely noticing that it stopped raining. I walk and walk in a daze, concentrating on the simple act of placing one foot in front of the other, blotting out all other thoughts except one. How could she do this to me? How? How can I love a child? I've only just learned to love her. When I look up, I'm at Flynn's office. There's no way he's going to be here. The door doesn't shift. It's locked. I call him, but get his voicemail. I don't leave a message. I can't trust myself. Jamming my hands into the pockets of my jacket and ignoring the commuters on the streets, I trudge on, aimless. When I look up, Elena is locking up the salon, shrouded in her usual black attire. We gaze at each other. She's on one side of the glass, I'm on the other. She unlocks and opens the door.
Hello, Christian. You look like shit.
I stare at her, not knowing what to say.
Are you coming in?
I shake my head and step back. Gray, what are you doing? Somewhere deep in my subconscious, an alarm is sounding. I ignore it. Elena sighs and taps a scarlet nail against scarlet lips, her silver ring catching the evening light.
Shall we go for a drink?
Yes.
The Mile High?
No, somewhere less crowded.
I see.
She tries and fails to hide her surprise.
Okay.
There's a bar around the corner.
I know the one. It's a quiet place. Let me grab my purse.
Standing on the sidewalk while I wait for her, I feel numb. I've just walked out on my pregnant wife. But right now I'm too mad at her to care.
Gray, what are you doing?
I shake the disquieting voice from my head, and Elena steps out of her salon, locks the door, and with a slight nod of her head indicates right. I jam my hands farther into my pockets, and together we walk the rest of the block, around the corner, and into the bar. It's had a considerable makeover since I was last here. It's no longer a dive, but an upscale watering hole, all paneled wood and plush velvet seating. Elena was right. It is quiet, except for Billie Holiday's soft, melancholic voice over the sound system. Apt. We slide into a booth, and Elena signals for the waitress.
Good evening, my name's Sunny. What can I get you folks?
I'd like a glass of your Willamette Pinot Noir,
Elena says. A bottle, I order, without looking at the waitress. Elena's eyebrows rise a fraction, but she maintains her familiar air of cool detachment. Maybe that's why I'm here. That's what I'm looking for. Cool detachment personified.
Coming right up.
The young woman leaves us.
So, all is not well in the world of Christian Gray,
Elena observes.
I knew I'd see you again.
Her eyes are fixed on mine, and I don't know what to say.
Like that, is it?
Elena fills the silence between us.
Did you get my text?
On my wedding day?
Yes.
I did. I deleted it.
Christian, I can feel your enmity from here. It's coming off you in waves. But you wouldn't be here if I was the enemy.
I blow out a breath and sit back in the booth.
Why are you here?
She asks, not unreasonably. Fuck. I don't know. Could I sound any more sullen?
She's left you.
Don't. I give her a glacial stare. I don't want to talk about Anna. Elena purses her lips as the waitress returns. We both sit back and watch as she uncorks our wine and pours a sample into my glass. I'm sure it's fine. I wave in Elena's direction, and the waitress fills each of our glasses in turn.
Enjoy,
she says brightly, leaving us with the bottle. Elena reaches for her glass and raises it.
To old friends.
She smirks and takes a sip. I snort, feeling some of my tension leave my shoulders. Old friends. I raise my glass and gulp down a few mouthfuls of wine, not tasting it. Elena frowns and presses her lips together but says nothing, her eyes not leaving mine. I sigh. She wants me to fill the silence. I'm going to have to say something. How's the business?
Good. It was generous of you to gift it to me. Thank you for that.
It was the least I could do. She glances down at her glass as the silence between us expands. Eventually, she breaks it.
As you're here, I think I should apologize for how I behaved at your parents' house.
Well, this is a surprise. It's not like Mrs. Lincoln to apologize for anything. Her mantra has always been, never apologize, never explain.
I said several things that I regret,
she adds quietly. We both did, Elena. It's in the past. I offer her more wine, but she declines. Her glass is still half full while mine is empty. I pour myself another. She sighs.
My social circle is considerably diminished. I miss your mother. It hurts that she won't see me.
It's probably not a good idea for you to get in contact with her.
I know. I understand. I never meant for her to overhear us. Grace was always most fearsome when it came to protecting her brood.
She looks wistful for a moment.
We shared some good times, though. Your mother knows how to party.
I don't wish to know that. Elena laughs.
You've always placed her on such a pedestal.
I'm not here to talk about my mother.
What are you here to talk about, Christian?
She cocks her head to the side and runs a scarlet nail around the rim of her glass. I see blue eyes on mine. I shake my head and take another long draft of the Pinot.
Has she left you?
No, I snap. If anything, it was me who walked out. What kind of man walks out on his pregnant wife? Hell, maybe my father was right. His words come back to haunt me. It's about you. You living up to your responsibilities. You being a trustworthy and decent human being. You being husband material. Maybe I'm not husband material. I shake off the thought as Elena gazes at me, and I know she's trying to work out what's wrong.
You miss it? The lifestyle, is that it? The little woman not giving you what you want?
Fuck you, Elena. I don't have to listen to her bullshit. I start to slide out of the booth.
Christian, don't go. I'm sorry.
She reaches for my hand, then changes her mind, so her outstretched hand becomes a fist on the table.
Please, don't go,
she pleads. Two apologies from Mrs. Lincoln in such a short time. I settle back in my seat, warier.
I'm sorry,
she says once more, for emphasis, then tries a different tack.
How is Anastasia?
She's good, I answer, eventually, and hope that I haven't given anything away. Elena narrows her eyes. She doesn't believe me. I exhale and confess. She wants children.
Ah,
Elena says, as if she's solved the riddle of the Sphinx.
This shouldn't be a surprise to you, though I will say she's a little young to be producing your spawn.
Spawn? I scoff because she said the last word with such malicious invective. Elena's never wanted children. I suspect she doesn't have a maternal bone in her body.
Baby Gray,
she muses.
That will put an end to your predilections.
She looks amused.
Or maybe they've come to an end already.
I scowl at her. Elena, shut up. I'm not here to discuss my sex life with you. I drain my glass and pour more wine for us both, finishing the bottle. The Pinot Noir is beginning to work its magic. I'm already feeling hazy around the edges. It's not a sensation I normally enjoy, but right now, I welcome the oblivion that beckons from the bottom of my glass. I signal the waitress for another bottle.
Has she done something specific to upset you? I haven't seen you drink like this in years.
Elena sounds most disapproving, but I don't give a fuck. How's Isaac? I ask to move the focus to her lover and away from my wife. My marriage is none of her business. She half smiles and folds her arms.
Okay, I get it. You really don't want to talk.
She pauses, and I know she's waiting for me to spill my guts, but my secrets are mine, not hers.
Isaac is fine,
she continues, finally.
Thank you for asking. In fact, we're really good at the moment.
She launches into a tale of their latest sexual escapade, but to what end, I don't know. I half listen and half let the wine carry me away.
So, is it the business? Is that your issue?
She asks when I don't react. No, it's going great. I bought a shipyard. She nods, impressed, I think, and I refill both our glasses from the latest bottle and give her a rundown of what I've been doing at work. The solar-powered tablet, the fiber-optic business takeover, GeoLumara, and of course, the shipyard.
You've been busy.
Always.
So you're talkative about your business, but not your wife.
And? Is this a problem?
I knew you'd come back,
she whispers. What?
Why are you drinking so much?
Because I'm thirsty. And I want to forget how I behaved 2 hours ago. She regards me through half-closed eyes.
Thirsty,
she breathes.
How thirsty?
She leans in and reaches over, taking my hand. I tense as her fingers slide under my palm and beneath the cuffs of my jacket and shirt. Her fingernails digging into my flesh over my pulse.
Maybe I could make you feel better. I'm sure you miss it.
Her breath is stale, not sweet like Anna's. Her hand tightens around my wrist, and from nowhere the darkness circles my chest and starts spiraling into my throat. It's a feeling I haven't experienced for a while, and now it's back, amplified, echoing through my body and screaming for release. What are you doing? I squeeze the words out. It's tightening its hold on me. Don't touch me. This was how it was. Always, me fighting my fear as she laid her hands on me. Don't touch me. I withdraw my hand from hers. She pales and frowns, her eyes on mine.
Isn't this what you want?
No.
That's not why you're here?
No, Elena. No. I haven't thought about you like that for years. I shake my head, wondering how she could have so badly misread my intentions, but my thoughts aren't as clear as they should be.
I love my wife.
I whisper, Anna. Elena studies me, her formerly pale cheeks reddening with wine or embarrassment or both. She frowns and looks down at the table.
I'm sorry,
she mutters. Apology number 3. My cup runneth over.
I don't know. What came over me?
She laughs, but her laughter is loud, forced.
I have to go.
She gathers her purse.
Christian, I wish you and your wife well.
She stops and looks me squarely in the eye.
I miss you, though, more than you know.
Goodbye, Elena.
The way you say that has a finality about it.
I don't answer her. She nods.
It would be difficult. I get it. I'm glad you came to see me. I think we've cleared the air.
Have we? Cleared the air about what? us. There is no us. Goodbye, Mrs. Lincoln. I know it's the last time I'll ever say these words to her. She nods.
Good luck, Christian Gray.
She slides out of the booth.
It was good to see you. I hope whatever it is that's bothering you sorts itself out. I'm sure it will. If it's about being a dad, you'll do great.
She tosses her sleek hair over her shoulder and exits the bar without a backward glance, leaving me with a half-empty bottle of Pinot Noir and an uneasy feeling of guilt. I want to go home. To Anna. Shit. I put my head in my hands. Anna will be mad as hell when I get home. Grabbing the bottle and my glass, I head toward the bar to settle my tab. There's a stool free, so I sit down and replenish my glass. Waste not, want not. I nurse my drink, slowly. Hell, I hate it when Anna's mad at me. If I go home now, I may say something else I'll regret. Besides, I've had too much to drink, and I don't think Anna's ever seen me drunk. Of course, I've seen her drunk, that first night I slept with her at the Heathman, and the night of her bachelorette party. Her words float through my slow, intoxicated brain.
Are you going to punish me?
Punish you?
For getting so drunk? A punishment, fuck? You can do anything you want to me.
Stop, Gray. I wonder when she got pregnant. On our honeymoon, in our bed, in the red room? Fuck. Junior. We'll need a fucking minivan. Will he have Anna's blue eyes, my temper? Shit. My glass is empty. I refill it, finishing the bottle. There will be hell to pay if Anna ever finds out I've had a drink with Elena. She loathes Elena. Christian, if that were your son, how would you feel? Oh, Anna, Anna, Anna. I don't want to think about that. Not now. It's too raw and too painful. I need oblivion. I want to forget who I am and how I've behaved, the way I used to, before everything. Before Mrs. Robinson. The barman looks my way. Bourbon, please. Wednesday, September 14th, 2011.
We're here.
The driver turns and flashes me a wide, big-toothed grin.
What?
I'm in a car. A cab. My face is pressed against cool glass. My head is spinning. Shit. Closing one eye, I squint up at the building we're parked outside. The brass lantern beckons bright in the darkness.
A Scala?
The driver says.
Oh, yeah.
From my inside pocket, I fumble for my wallet and paw through the notes. I hand one to the cab driver and hope it's enough.
Wow, thanks.
I open the car door and fall onto the sidewalk.
Fuck. You okay?
He calls.
Yeah.
I lay there for a second, staring up at the night sky, waiting for the world to stop spinning. It's clear, and there are a few stars shining down, winking at me. It's peaceful. I'm lying on the sidewalk.
Get up, Gray.
A man looms over me, blotting out the light from the lantern, and for a moment a chill grips my heart.
Here.
He offers me his hand.
Oh, he's here to help. Cab guy? Maybe.
He hauls me to my feet.
One too many, eh?
Yeah, more than one, I think.
I make a half-assed attempt to brush myself down, and the driver climbs back into his car. Turning around, I start to sway and use forward momentum to stagger into the building and over to the elevator. I'll be okay if I can just get to bed. The elevator doors open, and I stumble inside. I punch in the code. The elevator doesn't move. I try again. Nothing. Hell. One more time. I close one eye and jab at the buttons. That does the trick. The door slides shut and the elevator hums, indicating some movement on its part. Wait, no. Everything is moving. I lean against the wall and close my eyes to stop the spinning. The ping sounds. I'm here. I open my eyes and stumble out into the foyer. Fuck. I bump into something. Who the hell moved the foyer table? Shit. Placing my hands on the table, I steady myself, but it fucking moves again, the scraping sound grating on what's left of my nerves. Shit! I make it to the double doors.
Christian, are you okay?
I look up, and there she is, dressed like a goddess on the silver screen. Anna, my own Aphrodite, my wife. My heart fills with love and light. She's so beautiful. Mrs. Gray. The door jamb holds me up. Oh, you look mighty fine, Anastasia. Suddenly she's closer and I have to squint to bring her into focus.
Where have you been?
She sounds worried. Oh, no. I mustn't tell her. She'll be mad as hell. I bring my fingers to my lips.
Shh. I think you'd better come to bed.
Bed? With Anna? There is nowhere I would rather be. With you. I give her my best smile, but she's frowning.
Let me help you to bed. Lean on me.
She wraps her arm around my middle, and I lean against her, catching the scent of her hair. Nectar. You are very beautiful, Anna.
Christian, walk. I am going to put you to bed.
She's so bossy, but I want her happy. Okay. We move, together, down the corridor, one slow step at a time, and then we're in our bedroom. Bed! It is a most welcome sight.
Yes, bed,
Anna says. Her face is a blur, but it's still lovely. I hold her to me. Join me.
Christian, I think you need some sleep.
Oh, no. And so it begins. I've heard about this.
Heard about what?
Babies mean no sex.
I'm sure that's not true. Otherwise, we'd all come from one-child families.
Mrs. Gray has an answer for everything with her smart mouth. You're funny.
You're drunk.
Yes, very. To forget. There you are, you little shit.
Come on, Christian,
Anna says. Gentle, compassionate Anna.
Let's get you into bed.
Suddenly I am on the bed. It's so comfortable. I should just stay here. She stands over me, dressed in silk or satin, as tempting as Eve herself. I hold my arms out to her. Join me.
Let's get you undressed first.
Naked. With Anna. Now you're talking.
Sit up, let me take your jacket off.
The room is spinning.
Christian, sit up.
I smile up at her. Mrs. Gray, you are a bossy little thing.
Yes, do as you're told and sit up.
She places her hands on her hips. She's trying to look stern, I think, but she just looks lovely. My wife, my beloved wife. Slowly, I wrestle with the bed to sit up. I win. She grabs my tie, and I think she's trying to undress me. She's close, so close. I drink in her unique scent. You smell good.
You smell of hard liquor.
Yes, brr, bun. Oh, shit, the room is a carousel again. To keep myself anchored to the bed, I rest my hands on Anna, and the spinning slows. Her nightgown is warm and soft, augmenting her body heat. I like the feel of this fabric on you, Anastasia. You should always be in satin or silk. Of course, it's not just her now. I jerk her closer. I want to talk to Junior. We need to set some ground rules. And we have an invader in here. You're going to keep me awake, aren't you? Anna's hands are in my hair. I raise my face up to her. My Madonna, mother of my child. And in that moment, I tell her my darkest fear. You'll choose him over me.
Christian, you don't know what you're talking about. Don't be ridiculous. I am not choosing anyone over anyone. And he might be a she.
A she? Oh, God. A girl? A baby girl? No. The room won't stop spinning, and I fall back on the bed. Baby Mia, with her shock of dark hair and watchful dark eyes, Anna holds her. There's a light breeze on my face. It's cooling in the sunshine. We're in the orchard. Anna's face radiates with love as she smiles down at Mia, then aims sad eyes to me. She walks away, not turning back to look, as I stand watching her. She doesn't look back. She continues and disappears into the garage at the Heathman. She doesn't look back. Every sinew, every bone, every atom of my marrow is aching. No. I want to call out, but I can't speak. I have no words. I'm curled on the floor, bound, gagged, aching, everywhere. The clip of red-heeled stilettos echoes off the flagstones.
So, you got drunk. Again.
Elena's wearing a strap-on and wielding a long, thin cane. No, no, this will be hard to take. I'm sorry.
I didn't say you could speak.
Her tone is clipped, formal. I brace myself, digging deep. She trails the cane down my spine and suddenly it disappears from my skin, offering me a brief respite before she strikes me across my back. I take a deep breath as I embrace its fiery bite across my skin. She pokes the tip of the cane at my skull. Pain radiates through my head. The door crashes open and his bulk fills the frame. Elena screams and screams and screams. The sound splitting my head in two. He's here. And he hits me. A good left hook to my jaw, and my skull explodes with pain. Shit. My eyes crack open, and light slices through my brain like a scalpel. I shut them immediately. Fuck. My head, my throbbing, aching head. What the hell? I'm lying on top of the bed, cold and stiff. Dressed? Why? I open my eyes again, slowly this time, allowing the daylight to creep in. I'm home. What happened? I struggle to remember, but something, a misdeed maybe, is chafing on my conscience. Gray, what did you do? Slowly my mind draws back the curtains on last night, revealing some of my transgressions. Drinking, a kegful. I sit up too quickly. My head swims and bile rises in my throat. I force it down while I rub my temples, racking what's left of my brain to recall what happened. Vague images of the previous evening flash fuzzy and malformed through my mind. Red wine and bourbon. What was I thinking? The baby. Fuck. I lift my head to check on Anna, but she's not here, and it's obvious she didn't sleep in this bed last night. Where is she? I take stock of myself. No injuries, but I'm still in yesterday's clothes, and I stink. Hell, did I drive Anna away? What time is it? I glance at the clock, and it's 7:05 a.m. Shakily, I get to my feet, which are bare. I don't remember removing my socks. I rub my forehead. Where is my wife? Unease yawns in my gut, accompanied by a burning sense of guilt. Damn, what did I do? My phone is on the nightstand. I pick it up and stagger to the bathroom. Anna's not there, nor is she in the spare room. Mrs. Jones is in the kitchen. She gives me a cursory glance, then returns to her work. Anna is nowhere to be seen. Good morning, Gail. Anna?
I haven't seen her, sir.
Her tone is arctic. Mrs. Jones is pissed. At me? Why? Ignoring her, I check the library. Nothing. My unease blooms. Studiously avoiding Gail's frosty gaze, I head back through the living room to check my study in the TV room. Anna is not in there either. Fuck. In spite of feeling like shit, I hurry back through the living room, bolt upstairs, and check both of the guest rooms. No Anna. She's gone. She's fucking gone. I dash downstairs, ignoring the stabbing at my temples, and burst into Taylor's office. He looks up, surprised, I think. Anna? His face is impassive.
I haven't seen her, sir.
For fuck's sake, we have how many security personnel here? Where the fuck is my wife?
I explode, and my head pounds. I close my eyes as Taylor's face pales. Shit. Get a grip, Gray.
Did she go out?
I ask, in as measured a tone as I can manage.
There's nothing in the logs, sir.
I can't find her.
I'm at a loss. He casts his eyes over the CCTV monitors.
All the vehicles are accounted for, and no one can get in.
I blanch as I grasp his meaning. Has she been kidnapped? Taylor notices my expression.
No one can get in, sir.
He repeats for emphasis.
Leela Williams and Jack Hyde got in.
I snap.
Miss Williams had a key, and Ryan let Hyde in.
Taylor counters.
I'll check the apartment, Mr. Gray.
I nod and follow him out into the hallway. She wouldn't leave, would she? I rack my addled, aching brain and recall a vision of Anna, from last night, I think, dressed in the softest satin, fragrant and beautiful, smiling down at me. Taylor heads off to our bedroom, no doubt to look there. And I don't stop him. I might have missed something. My phone. I could call her. Wait. There's a text from her in very shouty capitals.
Would you like Mrs. Lincoln to join us when we eventually discuss this text she sent you? It will save you running to her afterward. Your wife.
She includes Elena's forwarded text. It was good to see you. I understand now. Don't fret. You'll make a wonderful father. Oh, shit. Anna's been reading my texts. When? How dare she? Anger flares inside me. I press call, and Anna's phone rings and rings and fucking rings. Eventually, it diverts to voicemail.
Where the hell are you?
I snarl into my BlackBerry, furious that she's been reading my texts, furious that she knows about Elena, furious with Elena. But most of all, I'm furious at myself and at the clawing fear that threatens to choke me. She's missing. Anna, where the fuck are you? Perhaps she's left me. Where would she go? Kate, of course. I call Kavanaugh.
Hello?
Kate answers after several rings, her voice thick with sleep. It's Christian.
Christian? What is it? Is Anna okay?
Kate is fully awake and instantly adopts her familiar badgering tone, which I do not need right now.
She's not with you? I ask.
No, should she be?
No, don't worry. Go back to sleep.
Chris...
I hang up. My head is pounding, and my wife is missing. This is hell. I'm in hell. I try Anna's phone, and again it diverts to voicemail. I storm into the kitchen where Gail is making coffee.
Can you get me some Advil, please?
I'm as gracious as a man with a missing wife can be. She stifles a smile. Is she smiling because I'm suffering? I scowl at her as she wordlessly places a container of Advil on the counter and turns to fill a glass of water, leaving me to struggle with the childproof lid. Eventually, I manage to pry two tablets from the plastic tub as stony-faced Mrs. Jones places water in front of me. Glaring at her, I tip both pills into my mouth, but she turns back to the stove. I take a sip. Hell. The water is lukewarm. It tastes awful. I glower at her. She's done this on purpose. Slamming the glass down on the counter, I turn and stomp back upstairs to look for Anna, hoping that the capsules will settle the storm in my head. Taylor is emerging from what was the submissive's room. He looks grim. I try the playroom door. It's locked, but in my frustration, I rattle it anyway just to make sure, and bellow Anna's name down the corridor. Immediately, I regret raising my voice as pain lances through my head. Any luck? I ask Taylor.
No, sir. I've checked the gym and roused Sawyer and Ryan. They're searching the staff quarters.
Good. We need a plan.
We'll meet downstairs.
Back in the kitchen, we're joined by Sawyer and Ryan. Ryan looks like he's had less sleep than me.
Mrs. Gray is missing.
I growl at them. Sawyer, check the CCTV footage and see if you can track her movements. Ryan, Taylor, let's search the apartment again. All of them suddenly look shocked, their eyes wide, their mouths dropping open. What? A movement from the corner of my eye catches my attention. It's Anna. Thank Christ. She's here. For a moment, my relief is overwhelming, but as Anna stands and surveys us, I see she's cool and distant, her eyes wide, but with telltale dark circles beneath. She's wrapped in a duvet, small, pale, and utterly beautiful, and mad as hell. As I drink her in, a sense of foreboding creeps up my spine, raising all the hair on the back of my head. She squares her narrow shoulders, raises her chin in that stubborn way she does, and completely ignoring me, addresses Luke.
Sawyer, I'll be ready to leave in about 20 minutes.
She tightens the duvet around her, keeping her chin high. Oh, Anna. I'm just so glad she's still here. She hasn't left me.
Would you like some breakfast, Mrs. Gray?
Gail asks, in such a sweet, solicitous tone that I turn to look at her in surprise. Her eyes slide to me, as frigid as ever. Anna shakes her head.
I'm not hungry, thank you.
Her voice is soft and clear, but her expression's implacable. Is she not eating in order to punish me? Is that what this is? But now is not the time for that argument. Where were you? I ask, bemused. Behind me, there's a sudden burst of activity as my staff make themselves scarce. I ignore them, as does Anna. She turns and heads toward our bedroom.
Anna, answer me!
Don't fucking ignore me. I follow in her stately wake down the hallway into our suite until she turns into our bathroom, shuts the door, and locks it.
Shit. Anna!
I thump on the door, then try the handle.
Anna, open the damned door!
Why is she doing this? Because I walked out last night? Because I saw Elena?
Go away!
She shouts over the sound of gushing water from the shower. I'm not going anywhere.
Suit yourself.
Anna, please. I rattle the door once more in an effort to express my anger, but I feel nothing except impotent rage. How dare she lock the door? It takes all my self-control not to break it down, but given her attitude and my headache, that probably wouldn't be a wise choice. Why is she so mad? She's mad. After the 10-fingered, 10-toed bombshell she dropped on me? Or is it because I got drunk? Deep down, I know the problem. Elena. Why couldn't Mrs. Lincoln keep her thoughts to herself? I knew it was a mistake to see her. I knew it in the bar. This is a fuck-up, Gray. Well, as my mother always likes to say, it takes two to tango. Wives get mad at their husbands all the time, don't they? This is normal, surely. I scowl at the locked door. What can I do? Find your happy place. Flynn's words invade my thoughts as I lean against the wall. Well, my happy place is not fucking standing here. My happy place is in the shower, but I don't have a choice. My head is thumping. At least the sound of the rushing water from the shower is less painful than my shouting. Otherwise, it's all quiet. I contemplate going to have a shower myself in the spare room, but she might duck out on me. Sighing, I run my hand through my hair, reconciled to waiting for Mrs. Gray. Again, like I always do. My mind drifts to the previous evening, to Elena. What did we talk about? As I try to remember, my sense of unease returns. What did we discuss? My business, yes, her business, Isaac, the fact that Anna wants kids. I didn't actually tell Elena that Anna was pregnant, did I? No, thank Christ. Spawn. I snort. That's the term Elena used, and she apologized. Now that is a first. What else did we talk about? There's something hovering at the edge of my consciousness. Damn, why did I get so drunk? I loathe being out of control. I loathe drunks. A darker memory surfaces, not from last night, one that I try to bury. That man, the crack horse fucking pimp, drunk on cheap liquor and whatever he could jack into his system and the crack horse system. Fuck. This is not my happy place. A cold sweat breaks out over my skin as I recall the stench emanating from his unwashed body and from the Camel cigarette jammed between his teeth. I take a deep, long breath to quell my rising panic. It's in the past, Gray. Stay calm. The door clicks, and I open my eyes to see Mrs. Anastasia Gray, wrapped in two towels, emerge from the bathroom. She strides right past me as if I'm invisible and disappears into the closet. I follow her and stand on the threshold, watching as she ever so casually selects her outfit for the day. Are you ignoring me? The disbelief is evident in my voice.
Perceptive, aren't you?
She mutters, as if I'm some kind of afterthought. I watch her, helpless. What do I do? Her clothes are in her hands as she waltzes toward me and halts, finally looking me in the eye. A get-out-of-my-way-asshole expression on her face. I really am in deep shit. I've never seen her this mad, except maybe that time she threw a hairbrush at me on the fair lady. I step out of her way, when really all I want to do is grab her, press her against the wall, and kiss her senseless, then bury myself inside her. But I follow her like a fucking lapdog into the bedroom and stand in the doorway as she saunters over to her chest of drawers. How can she be so nonchalant? Look at me. I will her. She loosens the towel that's cloaked around her body and drops it to the floor. My dick stirs in response, making me angrier. Christ, she's beautiful. Her flawless skin, the soft flare of her hips, the swell of her behind, and her long, long legs that I want wrapped around me. Her body shows no sign of the invader yet. Christ, I have no idea how pregnant she is. Shit. I put Junior out of my mind. How long will it take me to get her into bed? Gray? No. Keep it together. She's still ignoring me. Why are you doing this? I try to hide the desperation in my voice.
Why do you think?
She fishes some lingerie out of a drawer. Anna. My breath catches in my throat as she bends and tugs on her panties, wiggling her fine, fine ass. She's doing this on purpose, and in spite of my aching head and my filthy mood, I want to fuck her, now, just to make sure we're okay. My growing erection concurs.
Go ask your Mrs. Robinson. I'm sure she'll have an explanation for you.
She rifles through her drawer, dismissing me as if I'm some fucking lackey. As I thought, it's Elena. What did you expect, Gray?
Anna, I've told you before, she's not my... I don't want to hear it, Christian.
Anna holds up her hand.
The time for talking was yesterday, but instead you decided to rant and get drunk with the woman who abused you for years. Give her a call. I'm sure she'll be more than willing to listen to you now.
What? Anna chooses a bra, the black lacy one, and slides it on and fastens it. I stride farther into the room and place my hands on my hips, glaring at her. She's crossed a line. Why were you snooping on me? I can't believe she went through my texts.
That's not the point, Christian,
she hisses.
Fact is, the going gets tough, and you run to her. It wasn't like that. I'm not interested.
She stalks over to the bed while I gaze at her, lost. She's so cold. Who is this woman? Sitting down, she stretches out a long, shapely leg, points her toes, and slowly eases one thigh high up over her skin. My mouth goes from parched to desert as I watch her hands glide up her leg. Where were you? It's the only coherent sentence I can form. Ignoring me, she pulls on the other thigh high with the same slow, sensual ease. Then she stands, turns away from me, and bends over to towel dry her hair, her back in a perfect curve. It takes every remaining shred of my self-control not to grab her and toss her onto the bed. She stands up straight again, flicking her thick, wet mane of chestnut hair so it cascades down her back below her bra line. Answer me, I murmur. But she merely stalks back to the chest of drawers, picks up her hairdryer, and switches it on, wielding it like a weapon. The noise grates on my frayed nerves, unraveling them further. What do I do when my wife ignores me? I'm at a loss. She rakes her fingers through her hair as she dries it, and I fist my hands to stop myself from reaching out to her. I'm desperate to touch her and end this nonsense. But the memory of her hissing at me with such venom after the belting in the playroom comes to mind. You are one fucked up son of a bitch. I pale. I don't want a repeat of that, ever. I watch her, wordless and mesmerized. It was only a few days ago that she let me dry her hair. She finishes with a flourish, her hair a riotous crown of chestnut streaked with red and gold that tumbles down over her shoulders. She is doing this on purpose. The thought revives my anger. Where were you? I whisper.
What do you care?
Anna, stop this now! She shrugs like she doesn't care, and my blood boils. I move quickly toward her, unsure what I'm going to do, but she whirls to face me like an avenging angel.
Don't touch me!
She snarls through clenched teeth, and I'm catapulted back to that moment in my playroom when she left. It's sobering.
Where were you?
I clench my fist to stop my hands from shaking.
I wasn't out getting drunk with my ex.
Her eyes blaze with righteous indignation.
Did you sleep with her?
It's like she's punched me in the face. I gasp.
What? No!
How could she think that? Sleep with Elena?
You think I'd cheat on you?
Christ, she thinks so little of me. A knot twists in my gut, and a memory, lost in a mist of red wine and bourbon, stirs.
You did, Anna continues, by taking our very private life and spilling your spineless guts to that woman.
Spineless? That's what you think. Jesus, I thought I'd fucked up, but this is so much worse than I'd feared.
Christian, I saw the text. That's what I know.
That text was not meant for you.
Well, fact is, I saw it when your BlackBerry fell out of your jacket while I was undressing you because you were too drunk to undress yourself. Do you have any idea how much you've hurt me by going to see that woman?
She doesn't pause for breath.
Do you remember last night when you came home? Remember what you said?
Hell, no. What did I say last night? I was just mad at you, Anna, shocked by your revelation. I want to say it, but I can't find the words.
Well, you were right. I do choose this defenseless baby over you.
My world grinds to an abrupt halt. What does that mean?
That's what any loving parent does. That's what your mother should have done for you. And I'm sorry that she didn't, because we wouldn't be having this conversation right now if she had. But you're an adult now. You need to grow up and smell the fucking coffee and stop behaving like a petulant adolescent.
She's on a roll. I frown and gape at her in all her glory. She's naked except for sensational underwear, her hair a mahogany cloud spilling down to her breasts, dark eyes wide and desolate. The anger and hurt roll off her in waves, and in spite of all that, she's stunning, and I am utterly lost.
"You may not be happy about this baby,"
she exclaims.
"I'm not ecstatic, given the timing and your less than lukewarm reception to this new life, this flesh of your flesh. But you can either do this with me, or I'll do it on my own. The decision is yours. While you wallow in your pit of self-pity and self-loathing, I'm going to work, and when I return, I'll be moving my belongings to the room upstairs."
She's moving out. She's leaving. She is choosing the baby over me. Panic overwhelms me. It's like a knife in my guts.
"Now, if you'll excuse me, I'd like to finish getting dressed."
My scalp prickles as I edge toward the abyss. She's leaving. I step back.
"Is that what you want?"
My voice is a shocked whisper. Her wounded eyes are impossibly wide as she scrutinizes me.
"I don't know what I want anymore,"
she says quietly, and turning back to the mirror, she smooths some face cream over her cheeks.
"You don't want me?"
There's no oxygen in the room.
"I'm still here, aren't I?"
she says, as she opens and applies her mascara.
How can she be so cold?
"You've thought about leaving." The abyss opens and yawns in front of me.
"When one's husband prefers the company of his ex-mistress, it's usually not a good sign."
Her disdain drips from every word and pushes me closer to the abyss. Pursing her lips, she dabs on some lip gloss, oh so fucking casually, while I'm poised on the edge of this awful precipice. She reaches for her boots, strides to the bed, and sits down. I watch her, completely at a loss. She pulls them on and stands to face me, her hands on her hips, her expression aloof.
Fuck.
In her boots and lingerie, her hair wild, she's a woman to tame. A dom's wet dream. My wet dream. My only dream. I want her. I want her to tell me that she loves me the way I love her. Seduce her, Gray. It's my only weapon. I know what you're doing here, I murmur, pitching my voice lower.
Do you?
Her voice cracks. Is that a chink in her armor? Hope flares briefly in my gut. She feels. I can do this. I step forward, but she steps back and holds up her hands, palms toward me.
Don't even think about it, Gray.
Her words are bullets aimed at my heart.
You're my wife, I murmur.
I'm the pregnant woman you abandoned yesterday, and if you touch me, I will scream the place down.
What the fuck? No.
You'd scream.
Bloody murder.
This is too much. Or does she want to play? Maybe that's it. That's what she wants. No one would hear you, I murmur.
Are you trying to frighten me?
What? No, never. I back away. That wasn't my intention. I'm in free fall. Tell her. Just come clean, Gray. And tell her what? That Elena reached for me, her intention clear? I don't think so. I had a drink with someone I used to be close to. We cleared the air. I'm not going to see her again. Believe me, please, Anna.
You sought her out?
Not at first. I tried to see Flynn, but I found myself at the salon. Anna's eyes narrow, fury smoldering in their depths.
And you expect me to believe you're not going to see her again?
She raises her voice.
What about the next time I step across some imaginary line? This is the same argument we have over and over again, like we're on some Ixion's wheel. If I fuck up again, are you going to run back to her?
It's not like that.
I am not going to see her again. She finally understands how I feel. Elena saw me recoil. She knows I don't want her.
What does that mean?
If I tell her Elena made a pass at me, Anna will go into meltdown. Shit, why the fuck did you go see her, Gray? I gaze at my furious, beautiful wife. What can I say?
Why can you talk to her and not to me?
Anna whispers. No, it's not like that. You don't understand. She was my only friend. I was mad at you, like I am now. The words come in a desperate rush.
You don't say!
Anna shouts.
Well, I am mad at you right now. Mad at you for being so cold and callous yesterday when I needed you. Mad at you for saying I got knocked up deliberately when I didn't. Mad at you for betraying me.
I didn't.
I should have kept better track of my shots.
She continues, quieter.
But I didn't do it on purpose. This pregnancy is a shock to me, too. It could be that the shot failed.
You're shocked. I'm shocked, too. We're not ready for a baby. I'm not ready for a baby.
You really fucked up yesterday,
she whispers.
I've had a lot to deal with over the last few weeks.
I fucked up? What about you? Cornered again, I lash out. You really fucked up 3 weeks ago, or whenever you forgot your shot.
Well, God forbid I should be perfect like you.
Touché, Anastasia. This is quite a performance, Mrs. Gray.
Well, I'm glad that even knocked up I'm entertaining.
Fuck this. I need a shower. I grit between my teeth.
And I've provided enough of a floor show.
It's a mighty fine floor show, I whisper, stepping forward. One more try. She steps back. No dice.
Don't.
I hate that you won't let me touch you.
Ironic, huh?
I gasp as her words slice through me. Who knew she could be such a bitch? My sweet Anna, hurt and aching, unleashing her claws. Is this what I've driven her to? This is getting us nowhere. We haven't resolved much, have we? My voice is bleak and flat. I don't know what else to say. I have failed to turn her around.
I'd say not, except that I'm moving out of this bedroom.
So, she's not leaving me. I grasp onto this hope as I hang over the abyss. One more pitch, Gray. This is your marriage. She doesn't mean anything to me, I whisper. Not like you do.
Except when you need her.
I don't need her. I need you.
You didn't yesterday. That woman is a hard limit for me, Christian.
She's out of my life.
I wish I could believe you.
For fuck's sake, Anna.
Please let me get dressed.
Sighing, I run my hand through my hair. What can I do? She won't let me touch her. She's too mad. I have to regroup and come up with a different strategy. And right now I need to put some distance between us before I do something I'll regret. I'll see you this evening. I storm out and into the bathroom, shutting the door behind me. Like her, I lock it for the first time ever, protecting myself. Anna has the power to wound me like no other. Standing against the door, I tip my head back and close my eyes. I have really fucked up. The last time I really fucked up, she left me.
You don't want me. I'm still here, aren't I?
I clutch onto that hope. Right now I need a shower to wash last night's stink off me. The water is blistering, the way I like it. I tilt my face into the stream, welcoming its stinging heat as it douses me. Christ, I'm confused. Nothing is simple where Anna is concerned. I should know that by now. She's mad because I shouted at her and left, and she's mad because I saw Elena.
That woman is a hard limit for me, Christian.
Elena has been a thorn in Anna's side from the beginning, and now, because of that careless fucking text, she's a thorn in mine. Last night should have put an end to it, all of it. But she had to send that text. Elena's words haunt me.
Maybe I could make you feel better. I'm sure you miss it.
I shudder at the memory. Shit. What a mess. When I emerge from the bathroom, Anna's gone. I'm not sure if I'm relieved or disappointed. Disappointed. With a heavy heart, I dress, choosing my favorite tie as a talisman for the day. It's brought me luck before. In the kitchen, Mrs. Jones is still emitting glacial disapproval. It's irritating and chastening at the same time. However, she's prepared a substantial fried breakfast for me. Thank you, I mutter. Her only reply is a tight smile. I suspect she heard Anna and me fighting last night. Gray, you were shouting. Everyone heard you. Shit. I stare out of the car window as Taylor drives through the morning rush hour traffic. Anna didn't even say goodbye. She just fucking left with Sawyer. Taylor, tell Sawyer I want him to stick to Mrs. Gray like glue. I need to know if she's eating. Yes, sir. His words are clipped. Even Taylor is frosty this morning. I wonder if Anna will follow through with her threat to move upstairs. I hope not. She fucks up her contraception, saddling us with a child before we're ready, before we've done anything, and I'm in the fucking doghouse? I don't even know how pregnant she is. I resolve to call Dr. Green when I get to the office. Maybe she can shed some light on how my wife came to miss her shot. My phone buzzes, and immediately my heart starts pounding. Anna. No, it's Roz. Gray. I snap.
You're bright and breezy this morning, Christian.
What is it, Roz? I snap again. She pauses for a nanosecond, then she's all business.
Hansel from the shipyard wants a meeting, and Senator Blandino, too.
Damn, the unions and the politicians. Could this day get any better? They have wind of the Taiwan deal already?
So it would seem, and they want to talk.
Okay, this afternoon. Set it up. I want you and Samir there, too.
Will do, Christian.
That's all?
Yes.
Good. I hang up. What am I going to do about my wife? Truth is, I'm still smarting from angry Anastasia. Who knew she had such gumption? I don't think anyone's bawled me out like that since forever, apart from my mother and father, at my own birthday party, no less. And that was because of fucking Elena as well. I snort at the irony. Yeah, fucking Elena. I shake my head in disgust. Why did I seek her out? Why? The Advil has kicked in, and Mrs. Jones's fried breakfast has helped. I feel almost human, but miserable. Utterly miserable. What is Anna doing now? I picture her in her tiny office, wearing her purple dress. Perhaps she sent me an email. I scramble for my phone, but there's nothing. Is she thinking about me like I'm thinking about her? I hope so. I want to be in her thoughts, always. Taylor pulls up outside GEH, and I brace myself for a long day.
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
Andrea smiles as I step out of the elevator, but her smile fades when she sees my expression. Get me Dr. Green on the line and tell Sarah to bring me some coffee.
Yes, sir.
After I've finished with Green, I need to talk to Flynn. Then you can bring in my schedule for the day. Has Ross spoken to you about Hansel and Blandino?
Yes.
Good.
Dr. Flynn left for a conference in New York early this morning.
Fuck. I forgot. See if you can find a moment for me on the phone.
Will do. The flat screen you requested for Mr. Steele will be installed this afternoon.
And the additional PT?
That will start tomorrow.
Okay, put Dr. Green through when you have her. I don't wait for an answer, but stalk into my office and sit down under the watchful gaze of my wife. I let out a long, slow breath, wondering if her photographer friend ever witnessed her the way she was this morning. From Aphrodite to Athena, goddess of war, a scolding, angry, alluring Athena. My phone buzzes.
I have Dr. Green for you.
Thanks, Andrea. Dr. Green?
Mr. Gray, what can I do for you?
I thought the shot was a reliable form of contraceptive, I hiss. There's a prolonged silence on the other end of the line. Dr. Green?
Mr. Gray, no form of contraception is 100% effective. That would be abstinence or sterilization for yourself or your wife.
Her tone is icy.
I can send you some literature if you'd like to read up on it.
I sigh. No, that won't be necessary.
What can I do for you, Mr. Gray?
I would like to know how pregnant my wife is.
Can't Mrs. Gray tell you that herself?
What is this? Just answer the question. I'm asking you, Dr. Green. That's what I pay you for.
My patient is Mrs. Gray. I suggest you talk to your wife and she can give you the details. Is there anything else you need?
My temper reaches boiling point. Take a deep breath, Gray. Please, I ask through gritted teeth.
Mr. Gray, talk to your wife. Good day.
She hangs up, and I glare at the phone, expecting it to shrivel to ashes under my gaze. Some bedside manner she has. There's a knock at my door, and Sarah appears with my coffee. Thanks, I mutter, trying to rein in my fury at the goddamned, officious, unhelpful so-called doctor. Ask Andrea to come in. I want to go through my schedule. Sarah dashes out, and I stare at monochrome Anna on my wall. Even your doctor is pissed at me. Misery is my constant companion, all the way through my meetings, my lunch, and my kickboxing session with Bastille.
You look like a wet weekend, Gray.
I feel it. Let's see if we can turn that frown upside down. Really? I knock him on his ass twice. He deserves to go down for that comment alone. By 4:30, I've heard nothing from my wife, not even an angry, hectoring email liberally sprinkled with shouty capitals. Sawyer has reported in to let me know that she had a bagel for lunch. That's something. I have 15 minutes before showtime with Brad Hansel, the head of the Shipbuilders Union, and Senator Blandino. This is going to be a tough meeting. I'm briefed, but I can't focus. Instead, I'm sitting here staring at my computer, willing an email to arrive from my wife. I can't believe I've heard nothing from Anna all day. Nothing. I don't like this. I don't like being the object of her anger. I put my head in my hands. Maybe I should apologize. What did Flynn say? It's better to concede the battle to win the war. And deep down, I know I've fucked up, but I'd hoped that she would have forgiven me by now. I type out an email. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, September 14th, 2011, 1645. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, 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 I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, 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 I'm sorry. I fucked up. Please forgive me. Christian Gray, CEO and penitent husband. I don't want to go home to face her anger again. I want her smiles, her laughter, and her love. I gaze up at her smiling face in the photo. I want her to look at me like she does in this portrait. I return to the email, wondering whether to hit send. This meeting could go on for a while. I call Mrs. Jones.
Mr. Gray?
I may not be home for dinner. Please make sure Mrs. Gray eats.
Yes, sir.
Cook her something nice.
I will.
Thank you, Gail. I hang up and delete the email. It's not going to be enough. I could try jewelry, flowers. My phone buzzes. Yes, Andrea.
Mr. Hansel and Senator Blandino are here with their teams.
Call Roz and Samir to join us.
Yes, sir.
This will be a fight about layoffs. I grit my teeth. Sometimes I hate my job. Blandino is appealing for calm.
These are our economic realities in 2011,
she says to Hansel, who sits red-faced on the other side of my boardroom table. I just want to go home, but we're not finished here. My phone buzzes, and my heart rate spikes. It's my wife. Excuse me. I rise from the table, feeling seven pairs of eyes on me as I exit the room. She's called. I'm almost giddy with relief. My heart feels like it will escape my chest. Anna.
Hi.
It's so good to hear her voice.
Hi.
I can't think what else to say, but I want to beg her to stop being mad at me. Please don't be mad. I'm sorry.
Are you coming home?
She asks. Later.
Are you in the office?
I frown. Yes, where did you expect me to be?
I'll let you go.
What? But there's so much I want to say, but neither of us speaks. The silence is a chasm between us, and I have a boardroom of people locked in crisis talks waiting for me.